there's so many times where if you're not asking the right question, great, you just solved this pain point, you just came up with this solution, but you never ask them how committed they are.
My name's Esprit Devorah, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Virginia Beach, Virginia, on the Women in Tech road trip series, thanks to Kia powering this amazing mobile podcasting studio in the Niro. And what's so cool is the supportive, collaborative women that I get to meet. And I have one of them with me right now, Kate. I enter Virginia Beach and she's like my angel savior, making sure everything runs absolutely smoothly. And I'm so grateful to have met her. So I begged her to be on the show, even though she was trying to connect me to everybody else but her. Hello, Kate.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So Kate's going to talk about online communities. She's going to talk about being an entrepreneur. And it's like, the online communities, I think, is very tech related. It's important in building a tech world to have a community around it. But you've also recently become a female founder yourself. So let's just get into the various areas. But I was excited about Kate because she represents everything that it means to me to be a woman in tech, which is collaboration, support, forward movement. Go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about who you are and share with them your full name and everything. Yeah.
Sure. So I am Kate Hamilton, and I work in an industry very similar to advertising. So I am in consumer research or marketing research or market research or any other word you want to put in front of research except for scientific. I do not do like vaccinations or coming up with new innovations things. I just ask questions for a living. I ask questions for everything about Geico. I have a PayPal community going on right now. I've done
things. What's that mean, a PayPal community?
PayPal community. So that one is global. PayPal has hired their agency of record or their advertising people to go and talk to people that they've segmented. So we have work going on right now in, I'm going to count all the countries. There's Australia, France, Germany, India, Brazil, Mexico, US, Canada, and the UK, all going on at the same time. And my role as somebody who's running the online community is I helped find all of the people to be put in it. And it's a 7-day commitment where people all over the world come together and talk about whatever it is that PayPal needed to talk to them about. So it might be about when the last time you sent money to a family friend was. Why did you send it to the money to them?
Yeah.
How often do you send money to them? How come you chose this platform over another platform? Maybe bounce some new ideas off of them. So Zoom is another pay sharing app that you can do. And so is Venmo. But both Zoom and Venmo are only available in the US.
Right.
So I bet some of the questions this week that come up to them are going to be about Venmo and Zoom in those other markets, those other countries, to find out if they would use it, what's working about it, what's not working about it. So we really help companies get the different types of answers that they're looking for directly to their consumer. So we don't like making guesses. Right. We don't like taking leaps and drawing conclusions without actually talking to anybody. So we're primary researchers. We right. don't bank on secondary or things that other people have done. We get right in the front for everybody. And that online community, the global aspect of it, is something that I do on a regular basis. The platforms that we use are all digital focused. So I guess that's the tech component right, that we can talk about. But you can do these communities and engage with these brands anywhere. It can be on your phone, in the car, at a stoplight. It can be at work. It can be at home, on the couch. Most of them are all mobile enabled. So they have apps as well as being able to access them through the web browser.
Right.
And then the desktop, laptop, whatever other tablet that you're working on and using. So it's a really convenient way to talk to somebody and yeah. to talk to a lot of people in a short amount of time. So I'll be talking to over 150 people this week in 9 countries just from my office here in Virginia Beach.
Okay. The first step in building any tech company is finding out what your market wants, what are their pain points, and how painful is it? How much are they willing to spend to get rid of those pain points? What are they willing to adopt or go through in order to utilize the solution that you're creating?
It's also about behavior shifts, though, too. So yeah. just because we can solve all of your pain points with a new product or a new company, how ingrained is that other product or brand that they're using as their current solution to right. get them to switch over?
Right.
So there's so many times where if you're not asking the right question, great, you just solved this pain point. You just came up with this solution, but you never ask them how committed they are.
Interesting.
To what their current solution is. So you want to find people and you want to make sure that what you're offering can attract people from your competitors
right.
or into your space at the same time.
What would be super useful to all of us, and I don't even know if this is possible, are you able to share some baseline way of thinking or questions that we could ask in starting a new tech company? Like, is there any kind of general way we could look at it to start to formulate effective questions for market research?
One of the things that I like to talk about when it comes to this, because I actually just gave a talk with the ODU Innovation Center about a month or two ago on a very similar topic. It was about startups and marketing research. And while you can ask a lot of questions, sometimes the best thing comes from observation. And it might not be how the response they gave you, but how they gave you the response. So yes, they're used to doing X, Y, Z, but as they're explaining it to you, you realize how convoluted and complicated the process is. They don't realize that it's convoluted and complicated because it's what they're used to.
Right.
So there's some inferencing that you have to make and you have to read between the lines sometimes when you are asking questions. And there's also the whole observation aspect of marketing research.
Yeah.
So we still do man on the streets and we still follow people and track their behaviors and figuring out what it is that they're doing. So as much as it's about asking questions, it's also about observing.
So I've done a lot of research via phone calls. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of digital research as well. Can you I find that you can't find the truly honest, transparent answers and as much accuracy in digital research as you would in having a at least on the phone conversation. How can you improve that? And do you agree?
Yeah. So there's actually, there's more than just, okay. So when it comes to asking questions, there's a lot of different methodologies that you can do. You can do a focus group, which is in-person, face-to-face. You can do it over the phone, and we still have call centers, and I still operate and use phone research. Then you have an online community, like I talked about with PayPal, which is more of a platform and a place they can go to. And then you also have online surveys. All of those are different ways to collect information, and there's a specific way you should ask the question in all of those. But the difference in the honesty, I think, comes with the incentive. So that can kind of sway and bias what people are going to respond yeah. to you with. So when you do an online panel survey, instead of paying people $100, $150 to answer this survey,
right.
when you get people who are part of an engaged panel and they're guiding either a point system or like
yeah.
building up to rewards or whatnot, their input, I feel like, tends to be a little bit more honest because they don't have as much at stake
right.
that they're waiting on, or they're not trying to give you the right answer.
Right.
They're giving you the answer.
Right.
And I think what happens when we do focus groups and when we do like targeted research where there's a high incentive involved is that people become professional respondents.
Right.
And they become the type of person who thinks they know the answer versus just telling you the answer.
That's the worst. Well, what I think you should do is, I'm like, no, what would you do?
Yeah. Right. And so we have to remind people all the time to think. It's just about reminding them and having an open conversation with them. I write all of my questionnaires in a very open dialogue situation, because what I see is a lot of like canned questions being asked, or a lot of lack of specific and what it is that you're doing. And I think the more specific and the more conversational you can get with the respondent, the more honest they'll be, because you're now you brought it into a conversation. It's not an interview anymore.
Right.
We're engaging in a regular sit down chat like you would with a friend. So when I'm in an online survey and when it's being particularly long, I put in a new screen. Hey, I really appreciate you sticking out with me. We've got a few more questions left, blah, blah. The same thing I would have said to somebody on the phone or in person. I try to translate into the other space. They do get those honest answers.
Right. And when did you first become passionate about market research?
So I was at Old Dominion University in my undergrad, and I had a marketing major and a communications minor. And somehow just those two things together created an advertising degree. And until I took an actual advertising course through my major was when I realized that I really liked talking to people.
Right.
I always knew I was a social butterfly and I had a lot of friends, but I didn't know that you could talk to people for a living and get paid for it. And I don't think I ever wanted to be like a news anchor or a reporter. And so I found my way to VCU Brand Center, which is a master school for advertising. Right. It's in Richmond, Virginia. And while I thought I really, really, really wanted to go for advertising after I took that advertising class, about halfway through the program, I realized my favorite part was still asking the questions. And if I had gone to an ad agency, they'd have to hire somebody like me in order to do that. So while I have a master's degree from VCU Brand Center and I love it and it was an amazing experience, at the end of it, I felt a little stuck because I didn't know what to do. I still at that point did not know how to get into the consumer research space.
Right.
And so I was leaving VCU and a company from St. Louis picked me up. When I talked to them, they were the only researchers to come to our, we call it a recruiter session or recruiter fair. And I was the only one there who wanted to ask questions, and they needed somebody to do that.
Right.
So everybody else there wanted to like be makers and creators and innovators. I think that's all really, really cool. It's just not my strong suit. I'd rather ask the questions to help get you there rather than originate those things. And so that took me to St. Louis for 3 years. And I was in purely qualitative consumer research. So I dabbled a little bit in online communities and online surveys, but I was traveling all over the country. And I would be in LA and New York, and I'd even go on road trips to Des Moines and Springfield. So I talked to farmers, I talked to doctors, I talked to patients, I talked to kids. We talked to a lot of different groups of people, and it just amazes me how many problems brands have and how much they want to talk to people. And so I realized that at Brado, the company I was at in St. Louis, when they started moving me in the digital space, that I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
And that's when I moved back home here to Virginia Beach. So I'm born and bred Virginia native. And this company is all of that. So we're qual, we're quant, we're in your home, we're out of your home. We're global, we're local, we're all of it.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a really cool hybrid.
And before we wrap up the conversation, you are now a female founder as well.
I am.
What did you create recently?
So as soon as I moved back to the Virginia Beach area, I got involved with the Virginia Beach JCs. They are a local nonprofit about building leadership skills in the community and giving back. And I found myself event planning quite a lot for them. And those events led to outside events that people were hiring me for. And about a month ago, I finally bit the bullet and I hired a lawyer. And I've created two things. I've created both my LLC, which is Dog Days Events. And I've also created a nonprofit version, which is called Top Dog Productions. So I'm basically a professional fundraiser and I can help local companies, global companies, again, on fundraising specifics. I really love details and I like pulling together a lot of different parts to make something really fun. And I, every entrepreneur should probably say this at some point, but when you really like what you do, it doesn't feel like work.
Totally.
When you're starting a business, it really feels like work because there's a lot of paperwork and just not the fun stuff that goes along with it. But when you have a good team, like I do, the CPA that I have on board, the lawyer that I have on board, my first people who have hired me that I have on board to help me grow have really loved what I've given to them.
So cool.
And so it just makes you feel more important. And I actually am still doing a lot of fundraising in the digital space as well. So I mean, Facebook is a huge platform for it.
And do you happen to know in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, do you know the company called I Fund Women?
No.
I feel like it would be an amazing collab.
Okay. Get me the information. We'll talk.
Yeah. That, like, I'm all about collaborations and empowering one another. And so I just met them. We came from Chapel Hill and I just met them. And I was like, oh, my God, that'd be a perfect sync up. I think what you're doing for everybody is great. I'm almost forgetting. I have this thing, this bracelet from Wilmington, North Carolina. If I could get my hand in there. There we go. By a female founder. This is really cool. So this is $2,109 and these are trackable bracelets. She hand makes them. It's cork imported from Portugal, made to look like gender neutral leather. And the listeners can track who you give it to. So I'm giving it to you and then you give it to a woman in tech who inspires you within 2 weeks. And that a woman dick gives it to another woman in tech and you all share your story on shareyourcompass.com on like how you received it. And so we could all connect with one another.
Awesome. Isn't that cool? Have you even had it for 2 weeks yet?
What?
Have you even had it for 2 weeks yet?
No, I have. Yeah,
okay.
Totally. So this is $2,109.
Okay.
$2,109. So everybody can follow. And you go to Share Your Companies. And I have sticker, women tech stickers for you too. But thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been so cool. You guys remember to connect with more incredible women in tech at womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. Tweet us, Facebook us, Instagram us at Women in Tech Show. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like so dope.
This, I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so
but
dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligned.
Yeah. Clearly and the space in the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia
I mean,
as a family because we do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.